It wasn't a very summary setting to that hymn, but I had never seen that hymn before, and I thought the words were just so right on for the interpretation of the Lord's Prayer that I had to use it. So maybe our project for the summer is to find a little bit more hopeful tune to go with it. But if you would pray with me, dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, my rock and my redeemer. I do not normally start a sermon looking at both of the texts for the day at the same time, largely because I think it is hard to give both the justice and the time that they deserved. But because Ken Koontz is on vacation, I feel comfortable doing it today. And we're going to start with Abraham, because this is such an important piece of the history of ancient Israel. We have, by this point, seen Abraham picked out by God. Abraham has gone on the sojourn that God has asked of him, has abandoned all of his gods from his father's house, abandoned all of his friends and relations, and gone to a new place. Abraham is picked out as blessed. And then we have this out of place to our modern understanding of God interaction. This is not the God that works in mysterious ways. This is the God who acts directly. And not only that, this is the God who answers back. Because God says, well, since Abraham is such a righteous person, because Abraham is someone who is so faithful, I must tell him what I'm going to do in advance. And I don't know if I would want the burden that Abraham has here of being the one God tells in advance. So Abraham, hearing what God has in mind, does the unthinkable. He bargains with God. And not in the way we bargain with God, where we offer up our prayers and hope for change. Not in the way we bargain with God, asking for mercy, knowing that we will never know for sure what has happened. No, Abraham bargains with God as if he is haggling for a cheaper price, which I think is beautiful. Because Abraham says, well, surely, 50 righteous people is too great a price to pay for punishing the wicked, surely, and gets God to admit it. And at that point, Abraham knows he is just bargaining on price. Well, if not 50, well, then those last five people between 50 and 45, surely they don't make a difference, and God admits yes. And Abraham says, surely you would not be the God of justice if you let 40 die when you could have let only 30 die, and bargains him down and down to 10. And here Abraham changes God's mind. Now, I think most of us, when faced with a God, pronouncement from God saying, here's what I'm going to do, we would not think to try to bargain God away, to change God's mind. That's not the way it works, we are told. That's not our relationship with God. And indeed, that is true. We do not expect to change God's mind anymore. And I don't think that anyone who followed Abraham in this passage, Abraham who was blessed by God, Abraham who gives his name to the faith of ancient Israel, to our own faith and to the faith of Islam, I don't think we are intended to argue the same way that Abraham did. But perhaps there's a lesson to be learned there anyway. I'll get to that in a second, because now I must turn to Luke. Because Luke's passage of the Lord's Prayer is very similar in many ways to what Abraham is doing here in Genesis. Luke, let's start with the end, says, ask and will be given you, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. Luke's passage, as much as the passage in Genesis, is about asking. It's about saying, there is something in front of you that you need. There is something in front of you that other people need. And if you do not ask for it, it cannot be given to you. And he explains that after describing this way to pray. His way of prayer is not the way Abraham prays, the way to bargain with God and look for mercy. No, Jesus gives us specific things to ask for, specific things that will fulfill our needs. And if we look at it, it gives us a sense of community, a sense of people around us too. He says, "Our Father in heaven." Now, we can get into discussions of terminology here, and I think that we ought to. The idea of Father is one aspect of God, but not the only one. But I think Father, hallowed be your name, gives the sense that we are all children of the same God. We are all on earth part of the same family. And let us all understand we are part of that family. Your kingdom come. Let us all work for the justice that you seek in the world and that we seek in the world. May we all enjoy the just world, the kingdom of righteousness that we all hope for. Give us each day our daily bread, because we know that while we work for our daily bread, our work is no guarantee that it will arrive. Many people work as hard as we do, but do not get their daily bread. So let us understand that it is more than work, it is more than deserving that gives us that food and that gives that food to others. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And here again, there is that relational aspect. God, forgive us of these things. We do not deserve it, but forgive us because we understand everyone needs forgiveness, and we forgive those indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. Do not tempt us, because we know that we are only human. And humans, when they're tempted, sometimes fall and do not live up to the test. So what this is all about is saying, God, help us to get through every day not wronging our neighbors. Help us get through every day understanding we are all part of the same family and that it falls to us to work to create the kingdom of God. And the reason I bring Abraham into this is that Jesus was certainly aware of this passage in Genesis, because this was one of the seminal passages of the Israelite faith. We remember Jacob who wrestled with God. Remember Abraham who argued with God and bargained God down from 50 to 10 people. And the thing here that comes out in the Lord's Prayer is that Abraham was blessed by God. Abraham knew he had been given gifts far beyond his deserving. He had been picked out by God, given descendants when he thought that their line would end with him, moved to a new world, was promised his descendants would populate the earth like stars populate heaven. And God comes to him and says, well, in this world your descendants are going to inhabit, there is this unrighteous place of Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'm going to smite it for me and for you. And Abraham, the blessed of God, who has been given all the gifts of God, says, I would rather have a world with all of Sodom and Gomorrah in it, with all of these evil people doing wrong things, abusing the guests in their midst, than have 50 people who are innocent die. I would have them all be in this world with me and my descendants than have 40 innocent people die. I would have all of these people in the world potentially hurting my family than have 30 of these innocent people die. I would rather have all of this evil in the world than have 20 innocent people die. I would rather have all of this evil in the world than have 10 innocent people die. Abraham was bargaining for the righteous, but more so, he was bargaining for the unrighteous. Abraham was praying that people who did not deserve it get mercy. He was praying that all of the hundreds of people in that town who did not deserve mercy got it. Abraham did not say, leave the 10 righteous aside, give them a chance to get out of town, though that's what happens. Abraham says, spare the entire town. And God says, okay, for 10 people, and maybe at that point Abraham says, I'm not going to press my luck. Because Jesus, getting back to Jesus, we have that incredible promise, seek and ye shall find. Abraham was doing more than just asking for mercy for the righteous and the unrighteous. He was seeking justice. He said, God, you are just. It would not do for you to spoil yourself this way. And as we look around ourselves, we have to wonder, what are we seeking? Because this passage in Luke is misused by those who push the so-called prosperity gospel, saying, if only you give enough money to your church, you will have material wealth. I think what Jesus is saying here is, seek justice for your neighbors. Seek justice in the world and you will find it. And how do we seek justice? Abraham saw injustice about to be committed by God in heaven. And he stood up and said, surely not. Surely not, my God. Every day, we look around ourselves and we see the little injustices of the world, the people starving on the streets. We see people, the innocent, being killed far away from here. We see injustice cloaked in righteousness and is not being perpetrated by God. Abraham shows us that even God makes mistakes, at least the God in ancient Israel did. How much less worthy are humans of the benefit of the doubt that everything we do is just. Abraham was given his life back by God and tested God by asking, is slaughtering these people just? We have in our world a democracy. We have in our world relationships with other people. We do not get the chance to question God and have God ask questions back and answer back. We do have the opportunity to question ourselves, to question our neighbors, to question our governments, and say, is this just? And maybe the answer is yes. But maybe the answer is, you know, I hadn't thought about it. Maybe 50 is too much, because this is the hope that Abraham gives us, and I think this is the reason this is such an important passage. We may not be able to question God's will, we may not be able to question God's actions, but we can question each other. And sometimes people do not find mercy in their hearts. Sometimes people do not find justice in their hearts because no one looked for it there. And so as we pray every week for forgiveness of sins, and we pray every week for our daily bread, let us pray too that we see the questions we could be asking and ask them. Because Jesus says, without asking, without being persistent, we can never know. Amen. Please join me in hymn number 450, O Day of Peace.